Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Terilyn Michelle. A native of the Southern Chicagoland area, Terilyn is a national best-selling author and mindset coach. She's passionate about sharing her message of cleansing the mind, body, and spirit by owning our divine design. As a certified life coach and habit change expert, Terilyn has led individuals and groups in customized training sessions designed to create life-changing shifts. Her book, entitled The Ultimate Release, is at the core of Terilyn's mission to guide others through identifying the beginning of core beliefs that skew perceptions and fuel negative decisions and experiences. In addition to sharing her impactful talent to awaken and inspire, Terilyn is proud to lend her support to community organizations and corporations, as well as being an active contributor to various platforms created to uplift and educate viewers and listeners. Welcome to the podcast, Terilyn.
Thank you so much for having me, Dana. I'm so excited to be here today.
Well, I thought you would be a really interesting person to interview for the podcast. Just having your perception of being a life coach and inspiring teachers in this time, you know, teachers have had a very trying school year. And so I think we have a lot of things that we'd really like to talk about to inspire those who are feeling kind of trodden down. But I'd like to start out with, tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
I think what stands out most for me is probably been about 10 years ago, but mm-hmm. It was a time in my life where I realized how my perspective and my mindset mm-hmm. had really gotten me trapped into a box. You know, the way that I saw things and the reality of how they actually were completely and totally different. At that time in my life, I was living according to how I wanted things to be instead mm-hmm. of embracing the reality of what was. So when you talk about a specific time, I can't come up with one specific thing because it was a culmination of things that created my choices that created an alternate reality because mm-hmm. it was so easy for me to strive and live according to what I would like instead of embracing and owning what was. And then crafting my life around the reality to then be able to turn things the way that I would like for them to be. So that started for me about 10 years ago. And it was in every aspect of life. I'm talking career, family, personal relationships, mm-hmm. spiritual, you know, myself and being grounded in every area. I was off, completely and totally off. And so I decided at that point, something had to change mm-hmm. and that wasn't going to come from anything else around me. So that's when I made the decision to start to learn more, kind of pause in my life and mm-hmm. start to investigate what could life be like if I learned to embrace what is, mm-hmm. learn more about myself and then be able to flip that into what I actually wanted it to be.
And I think we talked a little bit in the pre-chat about just kind of that corporate America situation, you know, that you have been in before, and you woke up one morning, you felt like you needed to write the book that you've recently written. So tell me about kind of just that awakening about needing to get that book out.
Oh, absolutely. The Ultimate Release is the title of the book. And it really speaks to that space within life, although it was about 10 years ago when this epiphany came about me that I mm-hmm. needed to do something different. The book turned out to be years later, but mm-hmm. Ultimate Release is about taking ownership of my role mm-hmm. in the disconnections in my life. And throughout life, we have many lessons mm-hmm. that we learn, mm-hmm. but the Ultimate Release is about instead of having in a lesson that you learn, an experience that you go through, you learn the lesson and move on to something else. Mm-hmm. The Ultimate Release is all about taking a culmination of those lessons and connecting them to get a big picture mm-hmm. for yourself and your life. So that pretty much, actually, there was a friend of mine who I met who looked at me and told me, hey, you're supposed to write a book. And I was like, mm-hmm. no, I'm not. Absolutely not. What would I write a book about? She kind of saw it and knew it from me. Mm-hmm. And so as I started to move toward life and move through things, I saw it was like all of these pieces that I didn't even know existed in my life. Once I started to desire the answer, things just kind of started to come together. And then mm-hmm. it was just like, oh, wow, you are supposed to write this book. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how the ultimate release came to be and how it started from there. And then it's just amazing. Now where I am, allowing those pieces to continue to come together, how it's really transformed things in my life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in the pre-chat, we talked about that, you know, you're familiar with educators and the fact that a lot of your family members have been in education. And, you know, a lot of what I'd like to address in the podcast today is mindset and just the mindset a lot of teachers are telling themselves this year with the fact that they're not enough, or, you know, the guilt mindset, like I'm not doing enough, even though, you know, they've been in and out of the building, hybrid, remote, virtual. It's the hardest year they've worked so far. But, you know, you talk to me that the mindset, you know, you tell yourself can shift your balance a lot. So please go into that and how you can help people get better aligned, because you tell me that clients are often misaligned.
Absolutely. And you know what? First and foremost, God bless all educators everywhere. I have several in my family, Chicago Public Schools, the majority of them, some of them in the suburban areas. So I'm very well aware of what that beast can be, the journey and trying to connect what you want to accomplish for your students, what you want to accomplish as a professional. Mm-hmm. And then the other side of it, which is very well known, and that is little support, very little resources in terms of the things that you need. So bridging that gap can definitely mm-hmm. be a huge challenge. And then also too, the feeling of what I've always heard from my cousins and aunts, feeling undervalued, mm-hmm. you know, feeling as though no one really recognizes and connects to all of the extra that you put in. And the extra, a lot of people would say, well, educators don't have to do that. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah, you absolutely mm-hmm. feel as though you do, because you're passionate about it. You're mm-hmm. there to make a difference. So today, I think my question would be for educators, if you're feeling undervalued, well, who's setting that scale of value for you? Mm-hmm. Up against what exactly?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's an important conversation, because the reality of the situation, going back to where I was talking about reality in my life, the reality of the situation, and I'm going, this is with the assumption that anyone that goes into education is well aware of everything going around about the uphill battle mm-hmm. with the things that you face. Of course, someone who knows nothing about the field can't anticipate all of the intricacies that go on once you enter the field. But let's go according to the assumption that you understand that it's going to be an uphill battle mm-hmm. when you go in. Then I think the most helpful thing that educators can do is deal with the reality of what is, meaning that when you decide what it is that you want for your students, when you decide the standard that you want as an educator for your class, for mm-hmm. your curriculum, what you want your outcomes to be, if you're looking at percentiles of what they're supposed to be accomplishing in specific areas, how do you determine what success is for yourself? Mm-hmm. Because if you know what success is for yourself, instead of assuming that your success should be according to that other scale where you don't have most of the things that you need, if you set success for yourself on your own scale, mm-hmm. then that would help to balance those feelings of being undervalued, of underappreciation. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be looking for validation from anyone else outside of the reality of what we can provide, what our results are that we get, or that we're getting for our students, mm-hmm. and then that professional growth that you would be getting if you measure it every year, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there are a lot of educators that, you know, some of them work in a school where the staff is tight knit. You know, you have a principal who's you know, makes an effort to give those words of appreciation or tokens of appreciation, and you have colleagues who, you know, come by and just give you those uplifting words. But there are a lot of teachers who are kind of on their own island, working in a high school, for example, that might be, you know, a teacher that teaches chemistry or a subject area that's, you know, I'm not working with a lot of other teachers, right? And that's, like you said, it's kind of the individual placing value on themselves. If you're not getting that from those that people that you're working with, right? You have to determine the value. And, you know, every so often, a parent will give you a shout out, right? They'll give you a compliment, but, you know, those are kind of things that you have to balance with the angry parent emails as well, because those do come, right?
Absolutely.
But I think, like you've said, there, you know, a lot of it's that mindset. How do you put yourself? How do you measure, right, for yourself, what that standard is going to be? And like, you know, a lot of teachers go into the school year saying, "I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to accomplish X, Y, and Z, and the kids are going to work on this type of project." But you know, reevaluate that after a quarter or after a semester. And realize you can only get so far, right? And that it's not your fault. It's, you know, the time constraints or the, you know, things that came in the way, right? Next school year should be a little bit more normal. But, you know, there's always the best laid plans, but, you know, things get in the way to be able to achieve those goals. And, you know, teachers have a lesson plan for the day, and sometimes the lesson plan bombs, right? But you Absolutely. Just, you pick yourself up and you move on. So I wanted to ask a little bit about at what point do we establish the what is enough scale? Because we have the teachers that feel like they're not doing enough. Even as we're doing this recording in March, you know, they're feeling like, well, you know, they're kind of beating themselves up still, right? Or they might have recently returned to an in-person teaching environment, and you know, it was a great shift from being remote for most of the school year. And you know, they're kind of reevaluating: are they doing enough? Because it had been such a long time since they were teaching in the building. So, how do you place that what is enough scale, and how do you determine, you know, to tell yourself, "I'm doing enough. I'm reaching my kids, and I'm connecting with them."
And I think that part that you said right there, I'm mm-hmm. reaching my kids and connecting with them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The scale for enough has to reside more in the results for the children, and not yeah. only that, their experience with you. Because mm-hmm. if we're taking and quantifying enough by what we should be doing, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. with most of what we need to do that adequately missing for whatever reason. You mentioned some really good ones, the dynamics of where a teacher works can mm-hmm. factor into that, what the subject matter is mm-hmm. these days, whether you're remote or in class. And there's so many different variables. So my encouragement would definitely be to step outside of the box that was created mm-hmm. for educators with standards based on the if. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandmother used to always say, if was a fib, we'd all be drunk, right? You know, so we can talk about, you know, that scale based on if, you know, mm-hmm. yeah, this, or we can just look at our reality. And that is, there's a result Mm-hmm. that I want to try to achieve for my students. And not only that result, we all know as educators, well, I'm not an educator, but being familiar with that process, that the results have a lot to do with their experience and the mm-hmm. climate in your class. Mm-hmm. So focusing on what can be controlled and the reality of what that is, and coming up with not only your own scale, but then also too, as a community of educators, I think is so important within that community to work together to build a scale that is reality, mm-hmm. to build a scale that is measuring only what you can control, and giving yourself credit for tipping that scale in your favor mm-hmm. quarter to quarter as you go along based on that. I think that's going to be something that's going to feed your soul. It's going to lighten your mind. And then there's also a new way for teachers to connect within that community for mm-hmm. support in that way. Because think about it, we're in the perfect climate. One thing COVID has forced us all to do, and that is to break that complacency that we've all been in. You know, everybody mm-hmm. kind of on autopilot because you're used to your regular routine and the way that everything has been going, the way that things mm-hmm. go. Well, now is the perfect opportunity to think outside of the box and create something completely and totally new that's never been done before. Mm-hmm. Well, if that utopia was a supportive environment amongst educators, their own community, sub-community, you know, outside of the traditional community, mm-hmm. You get to reimagine that and live in that and work within the reality and support each other within that reality. That mm-hmm. is something that not only feeds the individual, but it's like a circle that keeps on giving, mm-hmm. you know? So that is what I would challenge. And even when I speak to some of my, I have clients in all areas of life, but a great majority of them are not only educators, they're educators on all levels from grade school on all the way up to graduate educations. That's one of the things that I always talk about, because that burden is not one that is lost on mm-hmm. any area of education. It's just different, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know? So now creating that new climate, I think is something that could be really powerful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that ties also into comparing yourself to the teacher next door, right? I talked a little bit about, you know, about 7-8 years ago, I was working in a team with two other French teachers, and I would often compare myself with the teachers next door who were a little bit more experienced than myself. I was already pretty experienced, but, you know, they already had the curriculum set. I came into a system where they were using a certain curriculum, and, you know, how do people avoid, especially if they're starting out in the profession or they're fairly new in a building and they're, you know, a newer teacher working amongst veteran teachers, feeling like they just don't have it all together, right? They, it might be their curriculum planning or their classroom management, or just maybe how they approach parents if they need to make a phone call home, things like that. So how does one shift maybe that mindset of, you know, comparing yourself to the colleague next door?
I think that, and it's so funny you should mention that, we did talk about comparison in a pre-interview, but since then, mm-hmm. I actually wrote a blog post recently, a day or two ago.
Okay.
Actually taking different aspects of who we are as people and shifting the thought process. And comparison is important because I think that the reason why comparison tends to be a weight for the average person is because mm-hmm. they are looking at a gift that someone else has mm-hmm. and affixing a deficit for themselves mm-hmm. because they're looking over there and that looks really good. So I must not have, I mm-hmm. must not be. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're thinking about that wrong. Comparison, here's the way I choose to think about comparison. Comparison is a window of possibility for yourself. You're actually being given the gift of seeing someone else in their strength, mm-hmm. in their greatness, and realizing that just like they were divinely designed and worked, sharpened that skill to get what you see, mm-hmm. they are a representation of what you are capable of. Mm-hmm. If you stay focused on where you want to shine, mm-hmm. starting with where your strengths are. So back to that new person that might be entering education, or someone who's seasoned within education, but maybe this area mm-hmm. is a little more new for them than what they're used to. Mm-hmm. When you're in that position and you're seeing what's going on over there, I would definitely take the opportunity to try and connect. Maybe you're seeing what you're seeing in that person because that person is actually sent to be a support to you. But if you automatically take on their gift as some type of inferiority that you must have, well, now you block off the opportunity to be able to connect and grow. Now, let's just say it's one of those folks who, you know, this is what I have. And they kind of want you to see that they have it. Feel the way that you feel. And you don't have access to this. And well, guess what? Most likely you will not have access to what you see in them exactly the way you see it, because we wouldn't be individuals if we did. It's not meant for you to be a carbon copy of that gift. It's meant for that gift to inspire you to explore more of what you want to build within yourself. It's not about what you don't have. It's about the possibility of what could be and uniquely yours. Just like you see that in that person and that's specific to them, there's something within you that's specific to you. See that as a motivation and not as being demoted, if you will, within your head from your own greatness. So the mindset has to be, especially when you're dealing with feelings or emotions that start to make you question yourself, that insecurity starts to reel its head. That insecurity can do two things. It can either have you hampered down and sit still, or it can make you curious to explore, why am I feeling this way? If I'm feeling as though this is something that I don't have, or that's something that I don't have, spoiler alert, you don't, that's hers. You don't have that. But you do have something that's there that you can tap into. And I believe that when you're feeling that way, that's the nudge saying that it's time for you to acquire more of yourself and challenge yourself to explore. What can you do that's going to build your confidence and quell this feeling inside of you that shouldn't be there? You're more than that. You're absolutely more than that. So I see comparison as something meant to motivate, not necessarily meant to hamper. And again, it's all in personal perspective, how you choose to use it.
Yeah. And I think the thing like I've often done is just, you know, go after those professional development opportunities, you know, learn more about X, Y, and Z. And
absolutely,
in that particular example I gave you, you know, I was sent to a training to teach this method. And I've been teaching so long just using like the textbook method. And, you know, this was more of a physical response. You were supposed to use gestures, right? And it was just hard for me to set myself into that way of teaching. And then the next year they ended up going back to the textbook anyway. But, you know, I think, you know, it's, you know, you are kind of set in your ways often as a teacher, but like, you know, learning a new method, being open to, you know, ways of doing things, or learning just more about like, you know, communication with parents or social emotional needs, those type of things, you know, it's always good to learn more, or, you know, build on your education, whether it be via professional development training or a degree. And so I think that's the best thing one can do is just, you know, learn from others, whether they're in your building or in, you know, Twitter chats, other types of webinars and professional development. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your speaking engagements. Kind of, are you involved doing some webinars virtually right now and maybe planning for something in person towards the summer or fall? And could you share where people can find you? Maybe if you have some videos online.
Sure, absolutely. As of now, as far as preparing for something in person, yeah, that's kind of iffy. Some of the events that I had for last year, we've moved to a webinar for this year because, you know, things are still kind of iffy with COVID. But if you want to find out more about what's going on with me, you can definitely go to TerylandMichelle.com. You will be able to access all of my social media links there and find out what new events are coming up. I have two in April that I'll be doing online, and that information will be on my website as well if you want to check those out. But yeah, hopefully, God willing, we'll be able to do some things in person soon, because online is great, don't get me wrong, but there's no substitute or the energy exchange of being in the same room with people. So I miss that, definitely.
Yeah, and in Colorado, they're just starting to do a few small online or small in-person gatherings, limited number of professional development or conference activities. So if people were to want to have some life coaching, then they could get information on your website about that as well.
Absolutely. All of my services are listed there. And then also, too, if someone were to watch this and they have any questions, you can definitely email me, Terrellyn@terrellymichelle.com. We can connect that way. My phone number is also there as well. But absolutely, my services are listed. And I do take small groups as well.
Okay. And out of everything we talked about on the podcast today, what's one thing in particular you'd like listeners to remember?
I would like to say to everyone, it is so important for us to have the confidence to own exactly who we are. And there was one thing, where was it? There was something else that I prepared for you. I don't see it, which is very inconvenient for the recording. But one, when we talked before, when we did the pre-recording, you asked me about a quote. And one of the ones that I love is, "Don't fake it until you make it. Be it, live free in it." I think that's so important. We only have this one life. And in order for us to really and truly realize what is important to us, what our purpose is and what we want, we have to have the courage to just be free in who we are, and the rest will kind of work itself out.
And that's so true. Just finding, your motivation, not comparing yourself to others, but also learning about how you can affix personal value to yourself. It's so important. We talked a little bit about your website, but are you also on social media? And can people connect with you there as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I am on Twitter. I am on Instagram. I am on Facebook at justterrellyn.com. Facebook is actually author Terrellyn Michelle on Facebook. But again, if you didn't get all of that, you can go right to my website and connect to all my social media there.
Sounds great. I'll make sure I put all those links in the show notes. Thank you so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Absolutely, Dana. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure being here.